So where did you put Russ?
In on my art desk.
Ah.
He put me in a room. There's a literal box of shit in this room.
Nothing but the best. Hey, I could put you in the room with Ben, so.
That's what I kind of
I'll
thought you were
box of
doing at
shit.
first. Considering I heard Ben loudly objecting to the whole idea.
For a change.
You know there's sharp objects in here too.
Yeah, don't touch those, you'll hurt yourself.
Too late.
Well, don't
Ben confiscated it, it's fine.
No scissors, no pliers, no sharpie.
He's taken away all my tools.
But he's leaving the biggest tool of all.
Hi, Russ.
Hey. Speaking of tools,
what are you looking for?
I was looking for an outlet that I might plug in my laptop to.
There's one underneath the desk. Just like you have to get on your hands and knees and put your face close to the floor to see it.
Okay.
Situation
closer.
Normal.
Closer. Oh, I see it. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna come in there and
just
get my
stick it right in there.
Yeah,
I like to hear Ben right grunting there throughout all this too.
Stick it in, Ben.
Well, now Russ is coming in here.
Hey, I'm in here now. Is it echoing?
Why did Russ come back?
I'm getting power.
Oh.
Max power to the extreme.
It is echoing.
You don't want my laptop to die like in the middle of this podcast.
Oh no, that would be terrible.
It doesn't work that way. But then I'd have to talk louder and then the mic input wouldn't matter.
Right.
We just need to put a cone of silence around Russ.
Actually, we just need to put one around Ben.
Here, Russ, you want to use this table here?
Sure.
Because I'll be playing Destiny by myself.
Okay, I'm going to come in here with Ben.
I cleaned up my art desk for you.
Well,
Ben removed all the sharp things.
You're out.
I was trying to get him injured live on air.
Your outlet doesn't work for me because I have a three prong. I have an extra prong.
It's not conducive.
Gross.
Yeah.
We need to have our outlets to be conducive. Otherwise, they're not very functional.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What the fuck is going on?
He's trying to set this table. This is the shortest table I've ever seen. I'm sitting at the kitty table. What about this table?
No.
No?
It's going to make a great pre-show if you're recording it.
Oh, I'm always recording it.
Ben's lazy.
Ben's not lazy. He's got a job.
Yeah. I don't have a job for the next 2 weeks.
Why not?
Well, maybe start till the second.
Because school's out. We could do this every day for 2 weeks.
I don't know, Russ. I think I'd probably kill you by then.
How much does this pay, by the way?
Ask Scott.
Intro quote?
No, there is too much noise in it.
I know, but still.
Yes, the spirit of the intro quote, if not the actual thing.
I have to bring the chair in from the other room.
Podcasting is an adventure.
Excuse me.
This is already better than most episodes we record.
Oh, this is great. Oh, wow, I have light and everything. It's a good setup.
So now I need to get Netflix cooperating again.
Oh, do we have to watch it online? On the line?
Oh, if you have it saved to your drive, you can Plex it or whatever. I mean,
I'll just pull it up through Plex.
I know not these strange words.
Apparently the cat likes cheese balls.
The cat should not like cheese balls.
Why not?
They're for peoples.
Right, but they're made of 90% the same stuff that the cat food's made of.
But they're for peoples. I don't want to share them.
It's not the cat's fault that you're essentially eating dry cat food that tastes like cheese.
Some dry cat food tastes like cheese.
See, that's even worse.
Up the long ladder. Here we go. All right.
Oh my god, Netflix. Why do you require so much JavaScript that always changes week to week?
Just Plex it. You got Plex?
I do, but I'm already into Netflix.
Okay.
Also, Mickey, I think you're going to have to hit the button on Fort Max because you started the group call.
Oh, did I now?
Which means you also have to add Scott whenever he turns up.
Okay, add Pipples.
Fort Max should already be on the list.
Oh, there it is. Add.
Wait, can you hear that playing in the call?
Yes. What?
That's why you mute the episode and put on subtitles.
You have subtitles.
Hello.
Subtitles.
Hello.
Fort Max, do you have subtitles?
For... Of course.
What?
Oh, I don't know why I expected any other answer.
Oh, I think I do have subtitles. Hang on.
Hi, Fort Max. This is Russ.
Hello, this is Russ.
Hello. Also known as Lord Taco.
Or Long Ago Lost Orbit.
At Lord Taco.
I think Fort Max has run away.
What is Maybe. I was untangling a cable.
For some reason, I thought you were going to end that sentence with a cat.
Cats often require being untangled.
There would probably be a lot more noise if I was untangling a cat.
Oh, my subtitles do work. Oh, this is good. Okay.
How exciting.
Recognize it?
Recognize what?
Sounds like it might be an SOS. Good guess. You're quicker than Starbase Research. It took them hours to determine this was a...
All right, slow down now. We're going to blow through the episode before Scott even joins.
Oh. Was I reading that? I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
Oh.
All right,
why wasn't I sick today? Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the Star Trek episodes of the podcast Superhero Time. Our continuing mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek. Alienate even more listeners. And boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
I don't make a habit of photoshopping makeup onto DeForest Kelly's face. Not saying I haven't, I just don't make a habit of it.
Hey, Mickey!
Bam, I'm Reba McEntire now.
Scott!
Drag in space!
And Fort Max.
Fascinating.
We haven't even started the podcast yet, Russ.
Yeah, you're going to need to rewind it.
Oh, God.
You're going to go...
We're XV will announce when we start, and by God, you'd better listen.
This week on that one episode of Star Trek. No, we're starting right now.
Isn't that right, XV? You don't tolerate interruptions?
This week on that one episode of Star Trek.
He hates when you interrupt him when he's doing the introduction.
You know, I wish I had started the group call because I would have hung up on Scott already. But, you know, every week.
He asked me to do things.
So, this week we are joined by a special guest who nobody listening to the podcast will know who the hell it is, so why even bother? Hi, Russ.
Hey, how are you guys?
If you are on Twitter, you may have heard of Lord Taco. If you have an unsecured Wi-Fi network, you may have heard of Lord Taco. that's Russ.
True. Wow. That is so true.
So there you go.
I can't confirm these things.
But you don't deny them either.
My oldest friend, except that Scott is technically my oldest friend, because he's older.
Well, he's the oldest friend.
Scott is the one most likely to be closest to death.
Well,
and with everything he says tonight, he moves a step closer to that.
Oh, just you wait. There's so many things.
See, now that I've actually met him in person and, you know, crossed that achievement off the list of meeting all the Superhero Time regulars, I can just kill him at my leisure now. He's served out his usefulness to me.
Right.
It's a cutthroat game, this podcasting.
Hey, that's all right. I got
literally
somebody brought me my vodka,
cutthroat.
So I'm happy now. So,
what do you got in your vodka?
Litter?
Cat litter?
Litter vodka.
Yeah, well, Scott doesn't have his own podcast for you to kill, so you'll just have to do the next best thing.
Yes. What would Scott even have a podcast about?
About that one time I was on a Star Trek podcast? Like I said, I would listen to the podcast and then make fun of
that
the podcast.
One episode of that one episode of Star Trek.
Precisely. And because of that, Fort Max, you're now invited to it.
Memoirs of a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, I'm going for meta. That's what I want. I want Russian nesting dolls of meta when I do my podcast.
Russian nesting dolls kind of hot.
Just little men inside other little men?
Well, no, they're old Russian women.
They're Bolsheviks.
You're full of Bolshevik.
What'd you call me?
All right. Who's driving this garbage scowl?
Ah, well, first we have to announce what episode we're doing.
We wanted to pick a good episode for us to join us.
So
no,
you
know we didn't. Look, Mickey, when you told me that he wanted to come on the show, what's the first thing I said to you? We need to find the worst possible episode to inflict on him.
All right, this episode is literal garbage.
Oh, yeah.
We already watched Planet Africa, so instead...
That's why I watched it three times.
Planet Africa?
You know, he had to inoculate himself against it.
You wish this was Planet Africa.
I kind of do, because that was an amazing episode to podcast.
It's just an amazing episode all around.
Yeah. It's the first one I listened to, and that's what said, oh, I got to get in on this shit.
Wasn't that the first
one? That was our first episode.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You said to yourself, man, I got to get rid of Ken and replace him with me.
Well, and Ken lo and behold.
Fucker.
And you got rid of Paladin as well.
Oh, we have an agreement.
Do you?
Right, I know this is a Star Trek podcast, but I saw Rogue One yesterday.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, but
yeah,
I just, bitch. I can't get over it. I can't believe
they got the Death Star plans.
Goddamn, Fort Max, you've ruined it.
No, I just can't believe that they showed Darth Vader's dick in the movie.
Oh, the purple, the purple Space Hulk, right?
Yes.
It was like a shriveled up hot dog you dropped in the fire. But it's weird because, and I know you guys haven't seen it, so I hate to spoil it, but like he takes off C-3PO's leg and uses it for like a robo dick, and that's why C-3PO has a silver leg in A New Hope.
Oh yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. That follows.
See, they brought it all together.
Yeah,
filling in those plot holes.
I'm so glad Lucas isn't around.
Among other holes.
Yeah, filling in so many holes. Your mom's like a Sarlacc pit. Vodka.
Chewing up bounty hunters and spitting them out.
Full sand.
It's all sand. I don't like sand. It's coarse.
It's coarse and rough.
And it gets all in your vagina. It's XP size and waits for us to stop.
What else is new?
You need to put some iron fist in this shit, man. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going. You have three assholes who've known each other for a long, long time, so...
I can talk about Darth Vader's dick for 3 hours.
He can.
I know you can, Russ. I know you can.
When he starts drawing pictures in Snapchat, that's when we get a word.
Okay, so we are doing Up the Long Ladder, which is from
season
2. Ah,
yes, we were actually trying to announce which episode we were doing, and then this happened.
From season 2 of Next Generation, which is the greatest season of Next Generation, because they didn't have a lot of writing going on.
No. They had words, but not a lot of writing.
It's kind of the Revenge of the Fallen of Star Trek Next Generation. Ooh. They said, let's start filming shit and see what happens.
So Paladin saw it 15 times in theaters?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he did. That boy just ain't right.
In fairness, this episode kind of has everything. It's got drama, it's got humor, it's got Pulaski, it's got Riker.
So much Riker.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, if any episode of season 2 I would look at and say, yeah, they just started filming this without a plan, yeah, I mean, this really fits that profile.
And it does.
Okay.
It's got Klingon measles.
Yeah, so the episode opens up with a shot of Worf's face while he's taking a shit, basically. He's gripping onto that wood paneling for dear life, and just you can see the fingernails digging
it's kind
in.
Like a Ren and Stimpy kind of.
Well, oddly enough, you don't get a captain's log; you get a wharf's log.
Squat. We stand in shit.
I've tried that before. It doesn't really work out very well.
But you really don't. The episode just
that's
starts.
Because
you don't
be... That's your, because you're not honorable enough.
Obviously. I'm here, aren't I?
So Picard enters the scene and says, Riker, to my ready room. Riker trots off and follows him. And Picard starts playing some fat...
And Data goes and takes the center chair.
Well, of course he does.
Mine now.
Data has become the cat.
So Picard says, Riker, listen to this shit. It's my new mixtape.
Beep, 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 beep.
Isn't it fabulous? I could dance it all day long.
Recognize it? It sounds like it might be an SOS.
No, it doesn't.
Yes. You know, they argue about it, which is really weird.
Now, why would it take Starfleet hours to figure out what this is?
They're stupid.
And why did Picard recognize it immediately?
Why did Riker recognize
Riker recognized it immediately?
Well, yeah. Picard recognized it before him.
I think
I assume that he already knew what it was because he specifically knew how long it took, like, command to figure it out.
It took them hours.
Yeah, command told Picard what it was. Picard didn't have to figure it out. Okay.
Right.
Well, it's from the ficus sector.
It's where they make plastic trees.
I assume it has a lot of fake trees.
And they listen to a lot of Radiohead. Fake plastic trees. So one thing I do like about this scene is they go into like this pre-TOS, pre-Enterprise era of right after World War III, and when humanity's starting to rebuild itself, and they're sending out those old DY-100 ships that are like just barely warp capable, like the Botany Bay. There's a lot of good like world building in this episode.
Well, yeah, you have basically the European, what does he call it?
You have Space Amish.
Or the Hegemony.
The Hegemony, yeah, the European Hegemony, which... you know, he scolds Riker for not knowing his history because this is the beginnings of world government.
Riker, yeah. You're such a dumbass.
Yeah, like, Riker's like, the European hegemony is, and Picard responds like, you ignorant shit.
You uneducated buffoon.
Riker taking the role of Watson in this episode.
Yes!
Well, for this scene, he has a totally different character in a few more scenes.
He's got several different characters in this episode.
Much like Watson.
It's just funny that he's like, oh, I know that's a distress beacon. But then like he mentions like European Hegemony, and he's like, what the fuck was that?
Aside from the organization that used that distress signal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
but there's no record of any ships launching into the ficus sector.
Except that they have records.
Well, we'll get to that later. You're jumping ahead a little bit. First, we gotta go back to the bridge because there's an emergency.
A medical emergency.
Worf fell over, and you could tell something's going on because it wasn't in a fight to show how strong the enemy of the week was.
Thank you. Yes.
Worf's fallen, and he can't get up.
Worf's fainted, but we can't say that he's fainted. Klingons do not faint.
Pulaski will say that because she's a harsh bitch.
Pulaski doesn't give a fuck.
Now, speaking of that, I have to say, this one episode, I suddenly love this character.
Pulaski is
awesome.
She is amazing in this episode.
She is brilliant. I love Pulaski because of this one episode. She's actually awesome in it.
It's the one episode where she does her thing, and it's vital to the episode, and Beverly could not have done the same role.
I agree.
No, because specifically Pulaski doesn't give a shit. That's why she's able to figure it all out.
Yes. Yeah, she gives no shits about anything, and it's awesome.
The only thing she gives a shit about is doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yes. Again, awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think she more just got off on lying to Picard.
Well, that too. I mean, you can kill two birds with one stone.
She lies, and then she hangs up on him.
Yes! Yeah.
Yeah, so Worf
and
has
then
amazing.
She gives herself an antidote so she can drink some poison.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes, but right now, Worf has the measles and he's embarrassed. And Pulaski's like, so? Who cares?
How would Commander Riker feel if he had the measles?
Oh, like a puss?
Pretty embarrassed.
He would be mortified, as should you be.
He would throw himself out of an airlock.
His honor would be so tarnished.
But no, you're fine, Worf. You're fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Just
you don't have any honor to lose. You're already living on a human ship. You're already a joke.
Also, you're wearing a little one-piece jumper. So
instead of armor, you warrior you.
Now get out of here, Scam. She tassels his hair. Kicks him out of sick bay.
Yeah, so she lies to Picard and says, he forgot to eat breakfast. He's fine.
And then she basically drops the mic.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's the thing about this episode. This is season two when all the characters are fucking annoying.
But it's
especially
so great.
Especially Data. Data is so goddamn annoying in this. He's like Wesley on steroids.
Hey, you know what you don't get in this episode, though?
Wesley on steroids.
You don't get Wesley.
Yeah. So it all works out.
Yeah.
So Picard is up in the ready room, and he's looking at a picture of
the
ship.
Well, if we did, really, Pulaski would have just told him to get the fuck out of here, out of the med bay.
No, wait. We determined that he has the Klingon measles, and then nothing is ever spoken about this again.
Nope. He's fine after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Klingon measles, so it's not like anybody else can catch them.
But at least
not
sexually.
Affected by them after this point.
Yeah, which is weird.
I guess we're to assume that she gave him like a hyposprite off screen, but
so don't normally when you have the measles, don't you get like bumps on your face and like
it's called
ridges on your forehead,
ridges on your forehead,
yeah,
hair in new places,
a batleth. Where the hell did batleth come from? I don't feel so good.
Okay, so. Up in the ready room, Data is annoying Picard, saying that I figured out how to find out what the ship was. Let's look at the shipping logs.
Oh, what a good idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Because clearly shipping logs for loading ships would be much more well-maintained than launch logs.
Of like human lives that disappear into the void, into a different sector of space.
No, but all that cargo has to be accounted for.
Yeah.
There were spinning wheels involved here. They gotta go.
Well, my favorite part about this is
space Amish.
There's tax liability to account for here.
The best part is Data's like, oh, mariposa, that's the Spanish word for butterfly. I thought it might be significant, and Picard's like, it doesn't appear to be, and just shuts him down.
Yeah, I know what that fucking is. Okay,
he's like, it's not significant, Data. Shut up.
And then Data starts talking to himself, going. Defining some word from his internal Britannica.
Spinning wheel.
Yeah, he's
and
like,
talking
oh, I know
over
that
Picard.
Yeah.
Explaining something, so he just
Data!
Over Picard.
It's like they're on a podcast.
Yeah, he beat me to it.
And then Picard orders him to theorize.
About Dance, what? Monkey.
Data, theorize. On what subject, sir? Anything, just theorize.
Just theorize.
Silently.
I'm just going to start out some words. You theorize.
What's the final number of pi? Get on it.
Mariposa. Spinning wheel.
Yes, the final number of pi is Mariposa.
It was significant.
Vodka.
Okay. So
Data cannot theorize. He doesn't have enough data. Oh, is that why they call him Data?
I think so.
Or Data.
Data.
One is my name, one is not, bitch.
So if Pulaski had met Lore, would she have pronounced it like Lori?
Lore.
Yeah. Lure.
Pulaski would have hated Lore.
No, she would have loved Lore.
Yo, they would have conquered the galaxy together.
Okay, so looking at the logs, I figured out, one, the ship is full of spinning wheels, and two, it's full of cloning materials. Okay, that's weird. Well, whatever.
That's weird, but it doesn't make sense, but let's just find him.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just ignore it from
find
here
out
on
when
out.
We get there.
Yeah.
So, back in sick bay, Worf has come to say thank you for being diagnosed with measles.
Well, for lying. Thanks for lying to the captain for me. That's honorable.
Yes. Thanks.
Dishonesty is very honorable.
Yes. Only when it works in your favor, so, you know.
Just like a cloaking device.
Ooh. Wow.
So he brings the tea ceremony to Pulaski's room.
Now, I love that Pulaski immediately knows, oh, shit, this is a tea ceremony.
It's a tea ceremony. Let's get on.
This is my jam.
I've never had anyone do the tea ceremony for me before. He sits down, she starts doing it for him.
Yeah.
He's like, hang on, bitch. And he's like, you must not drink the tea. It is poisonous to humans. And she's like, wait, I have an antidote ready for this, oddly enough.
And see, the thing is, like, it's so Pulaski because she's totally glossing over the significance of the tea ceremony by like, okay, I'm gonna take some antidote, I'll drink this and it'll be just fine.
She doesn't give a shit about the the ceremony. She's just like, give me some of that tea.
So is this like that one time I had a Japanese tea ceremony and I put like sugar in it to make it sweet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's like that? Okay, never mind. All right, just checking. They were so angry at me.
Yeah, I love that she interrupts Worf mid-sentence to get her antidote. hold the fuck up. I got
something
for this.
She's like trying to pour the tea. She's like, Wait. I got
into this. So what you didn't hear though is when she walked around the corner out of the shot, you heard glass break from her special case that says
in case of tea ceremony.
In case of Klingon tea ceremony. Like break glass.
Now all that she walks on the screen, Worf just left there holding a teacup looking around like what?
Yes.
He's like, this is most unusual.
I'm sure that's not the first time Worf has been left in a room holding the bag.
No, Pulaski walked out of the room. He wasn't holding her.
So, while they're drinking tea, the Enterprise is flying towards a cartoon sun.
Seriously.
With lots of tentacles flying out of it.
No, Worf has to
I've seen
the hentai first.
Wait, oh, that's right. The
speaking on love poetry.
So, Pulaski drinks the tea and asks for Worf to quote Klingon love poetry. So Worf responds with, first the Klingon male slapped the woman. Then his clavicle.
She's like, hold on, I have something for that too. She goes, put it on a neck brace. Okay, go ahead. I'm so into this.
I mean, it's heavily implied that they have sex at this point, right?
Heavily implied, yes.
I mean, it makes sense. Klingons have different senses of beauty than humans. Probably to a Klingon, Pulaski is very attractive.
What else could you quote love poetry from a Klingon?
Yeah.
Then his ridges became rigid.
She had to go easy on him though, because he's still recovering from the measles.
Yes.
Be gentle. It's my first time.
So she only threw the lawn furniture around.
So he takes the sex from Worf.
God. Man, Pulaski's living the dream this episode.
Is this a Pulaski focus episode?
Yeah, this is Pulaski's time to shine.
It is. It's totally a Pulaski episode.
With the side of Riker.
It's all about Pulaski and the Irish.
So we never see Worf again for this episode.
No, you do.
He's just chilling, though. He's just kind of there.
He no longer becomes a focus of the episode, though.
But he's around. He says words.
But, like, the way this episode starts out, you'd think that he's going to be the B plot throughout the entire episode.
No, he's like the C and a half plot.
Well, in fairness, there is a whole alphabet of plots in this episode.
Yeah.
Just pick one and go.
So,
yeah, the Worf plot is over now.
We're done with Worf.
And we've arrived at the planet where the distress signal is coming from.
With the cartoon tentacle sun.
So, Troy gets her contractually obligated dialogue to say...
They're hiding something.
No, that's later.
She says that every episode.
True.
She's like, Captain, these assholes haven't seen technology in 300 years. Maybe we should, like, be careful?
Maybe we shouldn't just blindly beam them up to the ship.
Right.
So
we'll beam down instead.
I mean, that is a better option. You can approach them cautiously and, you know, not look threatening.
So they'll beam Riker down.
Okay,
well,
scratch
humans,
that plan.
They don't, like, so the Prime Directive does not apply at all?
Because they're humans.
No, they're colonists, so they're fine.
They're human. They come from Earth.
Right.
But they come from, what, was it pre-First Contact or post-First Contact?
Post.
Post, okay.
I mean, they did have warp technology.
Oh, okay, yeah, they did have warp.
So,
yeah, it would be post.
They took those Yoshimitsu computers.
Yeah.
They certainly did.
Yoshimitsu. Quality electronics for never years.
Quality electronics for eternity.
All right, so Riker's gone down to the talk shop with them, and things have gone...
So we don't see this at all, and this is to set up, you know, a visual gag here in a little bit. But the best part is that, like, Picard's like, Riker, why, you know, just get him up here. And Riker's like, well, I've got some problems down here. And Picard's like, I don't give a shit. Just beam him up.
Okay.
Captain.
Understand.
No, but sir, no, do it. But no.
Just do it. Yeah, he's not entertaining any, and so it's to set up this huge visual gag when O'Brien transports these Irish fucks.
Like, what if Riker's trying to say they're all contaminated with a contagious disease?
Nope, doesn't matter. Just beam them up.
Or what if he's trying to say they're all Irish?
Biofilters.
Oh, yeah, he would not. Yeah,
the biofilter didn't stop the Irish though.
And it doesn't stop straw either. Why is there fucking straw?
So I had to assume that, like, they didn't go for individual, like, you know, individually targeted pattern locks. It's just like, okay, there's this many people in this area. Just beam the whole volume
up. And, like, there's, but
beam up every organic thing in this area,
and the inorganic things too, like cages full of quacks.
This episode seriously needs a laugh track. Because...
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we're here for. So, in fairness, though, I really don't think Picard has any room to talk about the Irish. He's a Frenchman who speaks with a British accent. So you know what? Fuck that guy.
Yeah, but he's not Irish.
Yeah, at least he's not Irish.
Speaking of Irish, I love that O'Brien's manning the transporter.
I know.
Yeah, only for the reason of him being completely mortified of his ancestry.
Literally, this guy is transported with he's got a flask in his hand.
Yes. And he offers O'Brien a hit because it's the hospitality thing to do.
Because, yeah, oh, O'Brien, I should have known a sturdy Irishman was running this ship.
Sturdy, yeah, that's the word for O'Brien.
Not doughy. With a meringue-like consistency to his flesh.
And graham cracker hair?
Yes.
I'm hungry. Brad's not delicious.
Ever had an Irishman?
Whiskey custard in the inside?
Yeah.
Picard looks to Riker and he's like, what have you done?
What you told me to do.
Before this, when Picard and Worf are walking towards the transporter room, this chicken flies out, which is itself. This little girl runs out and grabs it. And you can see Picard turn to Worf and says, get that disgusting thing off my ship and then do something about the chicken.
Also, I like at the moment of the beam up and the comm line is still open, you just hear the rooster crowing. Over the communicator
on the bridge.
As soon as they're transported up, you can hear Irish music playing in the background.
Like, yeah.
Where does that come from?
Yeah, that's what I was telling Vince. He's like, they transported the music up?
The best thing would have been is if it had communicator static with it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, filter it to be on the comm channel.
They just said, fuck it. Let's make it
that one gag and beast.
As fast as we can. Yeah.
Gag.
Good, so, we made a whole 12 minutes in the episode so far.
There's so much to talk about, though.
They should have had a writer's strike just for Star Trek more often.
Just have one writer's strike every year so you get an episode like this.
Was there a writer's strike throughout all of Voyager?
No, we would have got some good episodes then.
Yeah. Yeah, Voyager would have been very entertaining.
Now, I'd like to point out that the main Irish guy, he's got to be like a famous comedian or something, right? Because he is playing a character to the bit.
No, he's just Irish.
You guys hear that?
He's not even an actor. He just is somebody who's walking by in the street one day, and they grabbed him and said, "Hey, you're Irish."
He's like, "Oh, yes, I am. How did you know? How did you possibly figure that one out, lad?"
Well, they're basically
holding
cartoon
two bottles of whiskey.
He's good.
And you got a backpack full of potatoes on.
His cheeks are all rosy. He's got red hair. He looks like a goddamn character.
Oh, we're going to talk about rosy cheeks here later on in the episode.
Yeah.
This is the most racist thing I've ever seen.
And you know it's not Africa.
Yeah, and this is, I've seen Africa, and this is more racist than that.
And somebody got fired over Planet Africa.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah. They fired the director.
Episode. The episode director got fired partway through the filming because of how he cast the episode.
Let me just remind you, this episode is written by Melinda Snodgrass, who also wrote The Measure of a Man.
That's a legitimately good episode.
It is. That's
not
my
an ironically good episode like this one.
She's like, how do you go from that? Which is a truly, like, they actually get into some real philosophical questions in The Measure of a Man. And then you get to the cartoon Spanish Irish.
It simply means that she isn't a one-trick pony.
That's right.
It could well be, too, that she got a writing credit for this for submitting, like, 4 or 5 different spec scripts.
they put them together.
Yeah.
This episode could have been so good.
Okay, there's one with clones, and there's one with space Irish, and there's one where Worf gets the measles, and there's one where Riker just has sex with everything in the galaxy.
Oh, let's just put them all in one.
Yeah. It's just save time that way. We don't want to stretch this out. They'll know.
Right. So, this Irish guy immediately asks Picard, "Oh, so you're the captain. You own this ship. Hey, I've got a daughter you could marry."
Picard seems nonplussed because he realizes, oh, this bitch is going to be Irish.
Also, this guy's going to want grandkids.
I do like the point. He makes a point. He goes, "Oh, I don't own it. I just command it." And then, like, a little bit later in the episode, he goes, "Get off my ship." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, now you own it." You only own what's convenient for you. I see. When it was time to fill her up at gas when you get to the station, "Oh, no, I just command it. It's not mine. I don't know anything about it."
"I don't own it. You guys, you're going to have to swipe it."
Yeah. "Use the corporate card. I'm not paying for this shit."
It's a chip, you guys. I don't have a chip.
Data. This needs Android Pay.
What have they done to my ship now?
Yeah.
Well, they've set it on fire.
Okay, so we've skipped over some stuff. Basically, Picard has imprisoned them all in one of the cargo holds because fuck the Irish.
He's in prison. And contained.
He doesn't want all these kids running around.
Well, and for good reason, because they set a fucking fire in the cargo.
But it's okay, because it gets Riker laid eventually. So it all works out.
Riker's getting laid regardless.
Yes.
But the best part is, like, when he's like, "Now, wait a minute, what happens if you were under that thing when it zapped the fire?" He's like, "You'd be standing in the fire."
Well, set that aside for the moment.
Like, what if you were standing there? He's like, "Well, you would have suffocated and died."
And while you burned.
Yeah. And again, that should have, like, a major laugh track behind it, because there's so many...
That is a punchline, yes.
Yes.
I love that it's perfectly reasonable, too. It's like, "Oh, what if I got trapped in the force field?" It's like, well, you'd have been standing in the fire. There's no way that would have happened. Why would you be standing in the fire? I love that perfectly.
Stupid Irish. Oh.
Fuck.
This episode is so terrible.
I love it.
Me too.
But, you know, let's meet somebody unpleasant.
But the Irish? No.
The whole reason they're trying to start a fire is so that they can cook some food.
because they're starving to death.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't realize they hadn't shown you how the replicators work.
Also, I like how they've managed to establish like a functional little Irish colony in the cargo bay in like an hour.
Yeah, well, they're Catholic. They breed quick.
Yeah, they built a fucking still.
Who says they didn't bring it?
Oh, no, I choose to believe they built it from
the No, I think they built it.
They foraged the cargo bay for parts.
Moriarty helped.
All you need is, like, some copper tubing and, like, a tub. Not that I know how to build a still.
No.
Who doesn't know how to build a still?
I mean, Only hillbillies in the hills of North Georgia would know something like that.
It's like knowing how to build the rudimentary parts of a nuclear bomb. Like, any idiot can find out how to do that.
I've built practically zero stills. It's almost
zero.
It's a number very close to zero.
If you round down, it's zero.
It's basically zero stills that I've built.
Okay, so... the farmer's daughter is attempting to boil spoiled milk with the fire.
God, that's so hot to me. You guys have no idea how hot this is to me.
And she's, instead of being dressed Irish, she's dressed like a fucking gypsy. I guess their costume budget ran out or something. And apparently these Irish like their makeup.
Yeah, that's one thing that I was thinking. They're a primitive society, but boy, they perfected the use of makeup.
Oh, hell yeah, they have.
Her face is beat to hell.
Well, yeah, and that's why they wear all the makeup, because you have to cover up the bruises.
No, she's not even wearing Irish sunglasses.
I know next to nothing about that.
Yeah, right, Scott Kelly. Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about. My name's only Scott Kelly. It's Ewife, I'm from Northern Ireland.
Scott knows practically zero about Irish sunglasses.
Well, look, you've already told her twice. There's nothing more you can do.
Who thought this was a good idea?
Why give her a watch for her birthday? There's a clock on the stove.
Right. It's true.
This is my first and last podcast.
Well, I would like to point out that my fiance is in fact a baker who does spend all of her time in the kitchen.
You mean former fiance?
At this point, I think so.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's where we're. Riker is staring at the wench.
Like, luridly.
Haven't you ever...
Staring? He's given her bedroom eyes.
That's called eye-fucking. He's eye-fucking her.
That's just called creeping on her, dude.
Oh, yeah, creeping. He's creeping hard.
Well, she's like, haven't you ever looked at a woman before? And Riker's response is, I thought I had until now.
What a line! Holy shit!
Fate floods immediately.
Riker is smooth as fuck.
She is ankle deep in a kiddie pool at that point.
She could drown a toddler in her underwear.
Oh, God. So Picard starts laughing. He's like, this is fucking ridiculous. I'm out of this episode.
He's like,
to the captain's yacht and flies away.
Fuck this shit. I'm out.
Saucer section. Leave these assholes behind.
I really think that's a lesson for the entire episode, that you just really have to bow to the absurd. Like, sometimes you're not going to get a good episode. You're going to get some shit. And you just have to bow to it.
You've got to roll with what you get.
All right, so the point where he's, like, flirting with her, and she steps back and then gets that okay, well, I'm going to get fucked look. And she reaches there and starts pulling her skirt up slowly.
Well, you know, showing some ankle is really alluring.
You know why she's doing that.
Well, yeah, I thought it was like she's presenting, like a chimpanzee or something. I'm like,
oh, she's presenting.
Oh, my God. And Riker's totally okay with it. I'll fuck a primitive bitch. I don't care.
He's like, look, I shave below the knees.
Riker's like, I don't care how many Starfleet directives this violates. Like,
I'm gonna violate her directive.
You want to wash your feet? I'll fucking wash your feet.
Ever use a sonic shower? Oh, you're in for a treat.
I love how Riker's immediately into the whole foot washing thing. Like, there's not even a question of kink about it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm down for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's seen Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, he has.
Or any other Quentin Tarantino film.
Right.
She's got laborer feet too. You know, she's standing in pig shit and like plowing cornfields.
But vagina?
Yeah, but he's gonna be like rubbing her bunions and like shaving down her calluses and
vagina.
That's what I was talking about, her vagina.
Yeah, I don't know which episode you saw. I love that she's like instantly walks in. She's like, "You're a fucking pig. Why don't you pick this shit up?"
Oh no, and no, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first, Captain Irish is talking to Picard, and he's like, so, what about the other colony?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some conceptual problems with this.
And then, yeah, record scratch, other colony?
No, I have some conceptual problems here. Like, I understand that that is, it's necessary to advance the narrative, such as it is, but, like, 300 years later, how does this primitive Irish civilization, for want of a better word, like, how did they even have knowledge that there was another colony on the ship that brought them when, by all accounts, they've rejected technology and probably shouldn't remember they came there on a spaceship?
Now,
furthermore,
there is a deleted scene.
Okay, so...
Is there?
There are several deleted scenes, one of which kind of explains this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, because they're... mentioned there's, like, campfire story time in the cargo bay... Where it's their ancestors came from the stars and left a god behind to protect them. And the ones that left the god went off and continued on their journey. And the pair and they did, and comments that the god must, that they were talking about must have. That was protecting them must have been the satellite that sent the SOS.
Did you watch the same episode we watched?
I think
yes.
You're making this up.
Deleted scene.
Blu-rays.
Well, they're Irish. It sounds like something they would say while drunk.
All I saw was Riker fucking this Irish chick.
Nailing her to a bulkhead, man.
Mention of that. Well, that would have been at the very end that that colony's going to be getting along for a little while like a couple of cats in a bag.
Nice.
And Data starts going on mentioning that, oh, would that be nice? There'll be all fighting and scratching and then Worf goes, how romantic.
This is a dirty,
kept
dirty
that in.
Episode.
So, Fort Max, you say they were having a like campfire story time in the cargo bay. How did they keep from getting, you know, suffocated while sitting in the fire?
I'm not sure.
You would be sitting in the fire.
Okay, now we're getting to Riker's bedroom scene.
Fuck yes.
Finally.
Wait, let me unzip. Okay, go on. My body is ready.
Okay, so Riker finally gets her home. And her first response is, you live like a fucking pig.
Yeah, just she like starts cleaning his apartment.
But didn't Riker just explain the ship cleans itself like one scene ago?
Yeah,
also,
yes,
didn't
he's
he
like,
just
that's not necessary.
Didn't he just remove her from a cargo bay full of hay and animal shit?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, we left a plate of spaghetti out. What an intolerable woman. No wonder she's not married yet.
Yeah, really. It's like you go to somebody's house and it's a pigsty. You put a drink down
someone
their coffee table.
Invites you to their home. You'd be pleasant. Say, oh, what lovely silverware you have. Not, your silverware is caked in old food.
Yeah, it's the same thing I do when I visit you.
Right, yes. You're polite. You understand manners.
She walks out of a barn and...
out of the barn into the pigsty.
Yeah. No, no, no. You're going to use a coaster on my coffee table.
She just starts picking shit up. Like, this is not... Like, what is wrong with you?
I guess that's just what she's trained to do, is to clean up after men folks.
Guess so.
But then she's like, oh, you don't like girls?
I love the crocheted, like, halter top that she's wearing.
Yeah, her crop top sweater.
That's so... Well, pretty hot, honestly. So go.
I love this part. I love this part where she has the dramatic wardrobe reveal, where she takes off her dress and reveals another dress beneath it. That is dragon shit right there. Take off her hair and reveal another wig.
That's what he does. He like undoes her hair, and there's like a whole other wig underneath.
Yeah, but he like first like the hair release eject button. He like just boop, and the hair just goes poosh.
It's a pull cord.
Well, to be honest, this is not the first girl who he's drawn her hair down. You know.
Yeah.
I love that he goes in for
exactly what she's doing.
I love he goes in for the kiss, starts Frenching her, and is like, 300 years of no dental science. It's like your teeth are throwing up gang signs. I love it.
Can we pause?
Tastes like buttermilk. Buttermilk and whiskey. So Picard immediately has sex with her. Let's just make it clear that it's been like an hour.
Has sex with her. Picard.
Oh, you don't know if Picard comes in
Picard
and does
probably
later.
Does too.
Oh, and as for what the other deleted scenes is pretty much right after this, and...
It's just a picture of Riker with the most shitty grin I've ever seen.
And we found our episode liner note picture.
There's a man who's like, you want to get a sniff of Irish Spring?
Looking for the antibacterial ingredients.
Oh, I got your Lucky Charms right here, lad. Good God.
Heart stars, clovers, eggplants, and blue moons.
Emoji cereal, delicious.
All right, so back in the cargo hold, they're basically building a still.
Yeah.
I was about to say, wow, that's an old classic retro-looking robot. Oh, wait, no. That's
No, it's been literally hours since they've had a drink. They're dying.
And Worf is like, you can just ask for anything you want. And he's like, it's not that Synthahol shit, is it? Because that was terrible.
Again, been there for an hour, already knows the Synthahol shit.
They've already been asking for alcohol, and all Brown is saying, here, have this.
No, what they were stumbling by, moaning, I need me alcohol, and then the computer just overheard them and created it. They didn't know how it worked.
Well, his flask is empty. He's already drank all that. I mean, that was just getting off the landing pad of the transporter.
He's about to crack up on the wall and start sucking EPS plasma.
He's like, this is terrible. It has no bite at all.
So Worf orders him up a nice mug full of dry ice. So here,
it's carbon dioxide frozen.
And he takes a sip out of it and turns into a cartoon character. Like
turns into out of a cartoon character. Little train whistles pop out.
Yeah.
He starts wheezing. He's like, ooh.
Faith and Magora, that's some strong stuff.
He basically turns into Roger Rabbit.
I love it. This guy is a brilliant comedic actor. I love this guy.
Is he brilliant or is he just really cliched?
Yes.
Super cliched, but it's awesome because you don't see that anymore.
It's super cliched, but it works because it's Star Trek.
Yep. His daughter shows up and just... I love how he talks while he's wheezing.
He's like, he turns into... He turns into Jerry Lewis for a minute.
Slaving, oh God!
Hey, lady!
I like that his daughter wanders up just the second he becomes super smashed. It's the drunk signal for her. It's like, my dad's drinking somewhere. I gotta go yell at him. And Riker's like, I just got hard.
Like, yeah.
Where are you going?
She even yells at Worf.
Is this where he's like, have you ever considered a career in security?
If it's anything like babysitting, I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Everyone laughs
more. This is why you didn't laugh.
Okay, Owen.
This
Owen
is committed.
Yes, Fort Max.
Okay, I went and just looked it up. Okay, Chief Irish's, Irish Captain's actor was one of the ones originally considered for the role of Picard.
Fuck yes. Captain O. Picard.
Oh, let's I can see. Only wish.
Its best known role is perhaps Basil of Baker Street in The Great Mouse Detective.
That's one of the worst Disney animated films.
Yes.
Agreed, yeah. What factor 90 proof? Get engaged.
Although, imagine him dialoguing with Q.
All right, look here, you twat. Get off your ship.
French Picard never punched me.
See, he'll do it with his like knuckles forward and his palms towards his head, like, you know, like the Fighting Irish.
Right, so meanwhile, back on the bridge, they finally make contact with the quote unquote second ship.
Colony.
The colony.
The other colony.
The yeah. other colony.
And they all kind of dress like Hillary Clinton. Like white pantsuits and shit. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I love that they like they
the
like
collars.
They're just like, oh, he's no doubt. He's a descendant of this other guy. Like clearly. Right.
Yeah, like, way to go, Data. Good thing you're using that mega brain.
They don't the same last figure name. It out.
His yeah. name was Prime Minister Wilson Granger III, Esquire.
He might be related to the first Granger. Thanks, Data, you
no
retard.
Doubt he's a descendant. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Descendants come from their parents. Yeah. No, Data.
Some sure, dogs are brown.
That's the Spanish word for butterfly. I thought it might be significant. It doesn't appear to be Data.
So this is where Troy makes her paycheck. Be careful. He might be lying.
Again, it's like, they might be lying. You look out.
But he might not be either. So, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. So, good luck!
Enjoy that away mission.
Yeah.
Take Pulaski with you.
Please.
And for God's sake, have her put on some blush for this scene.
So she doesn't look like a laughing skull.
No. She's still just, you know, glowing from her time with Worf earlier.
Oh boy!
It must be really good because
also on
like,
this mission, which isn't awkward at all.
Pulaski's makeup of the scene is beyond excessive. Like, you know, blush is used to highlight the cheekbones, but she's got good cheekbones already. So it's like she's got like spray paint on both of her cheeks.
So it's Worf, Riker, and Pulaski, and you can pretty much draw a Venn diagram between like Pulaski in the middle. And, like, on either side, there's Worf and Riker, because they've all had sex with her.
No.
It's more like an Eiffel Tower.
No, that comes later.
Oh, that goes later. So,
that's
so
not till season six.
Jesus. So, like, a Worf and Riker are walking through the corridor. It's all high-tech and cool-looking, and they run into, like, a group of triplets. These women look just like each other. And Riker's immediately disgusted.
Just no, he's immediately just, turned on.
Well, no, he's, like, angry about it. Like, ugh, triplets, what the fuck? I mean, he's immediately,
he's
disgusted and angry. It's weird.
He's like, that's my finish.
No, it's not. Worf doesn't give a shit. I don't care. I can kill them all. I don't know. I mean, like, all at the same time. It's no big deal. But Riker's just like, ugh.
Riker's like, would it count as a foursome if they're all triplets?
Yes. What if one of them's pregnant? Does that count as like a fivesome?
And then another one walks through and they're like, quadruplets? Riker's like, yeah. I've had those.
No, I love that this colony's decorating scheme is headless, naked bowling women.
They are the ideal. Now, this is another one of the scenes where Pulaski earned my respect. She faces down Eddie Murphy and is not scared at all. And she tries to get a cat to jump on him with a laser pointer.
She scans him without his knowledge. Like, I'm sure that violates all kinds of HIPAA laws.
Yeah.
She's not his doctor.
How could that his knowledge? She's like basically like waving it in front of him, like in a flashing light, holding right beside her waist, just pointed at him. How could he not notice? It was beeping, for Christ's sake.
And he's a security guy, it seems. So yeah,
if he's anything like Worf, it makes perfect sense.
I mean, she's been like, "It's my inhaler. Ignore it."
After several years of replicative fading, they don't even pay attention.
All their Eddie Murphys are blind now.
they
like greased up death guy.
They can't see light anymore.
Well, they do have no speaking parts in
they're
this.
Basically,
so
Geordi. Where Geordi comes from?
Maybe that's why they want Geordi's DNA later on.
It was a failed colony.
They had the blind black man.
This is clearly a failed colony.
Yeah.
Completely failed.
Completely failed.
Somewhere out there in the wilderness.
There are rape clones.
There was replicative fading.
Replicative raping.
Replicative ganging.
I'm a leader somewhere.
So Pulaski is just an asshole in this episode. She's like, so tell me, are all of your colonists... Clones? Record scratch.
Clones?
And then Granger's like, clones.
Clones? All right. Okay, so at this point, my fiance asked me, are they all clones?
I turned to look at her.
No. She actually like picked up like the first second, like the first time there was like a double person. Like, oh, they're all clones. I was like, what the fuck? You just spoiled this.
That's good though. She's getting genre savvy.
Oh yeah. No, she knows her sci-fi. She's getting there.
Yeah, she knows that awful sci-fi show from England.
Yeah, Blake 7 or whatever it was.
So Pulaski had to scan one of them to figure out that they're clones.
Right, that's the fact that they were like septuplets walking around everywhere.
Well, I assume the suspicion is why she decided to surreptitiously scan one. I don't know how she could determine from scanning one of them that they're clones, but you know.
Right. You should have a comparison.
She scanned the one that we didn't see any other example of prior to her scanning.
She detected the replicative fading.
I guess.
Wait a minute. Eddie Murphy died 300 years ago.
Another Eddie Murphy right here in front of me. Something's up.
This is far too many Eddie Murphys. Two or three I could understand. But this is just too many Eddie Murphys.
You know, after Daddy Daycare 12, it's getting a little ridiculous.
Yes, Haunted Mansion 16, the prequel. Leonard Part 7.
Daddy Daycare 12, initial public offering.
That's Bill Cosby. That's not Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I know, but he had to take over for him.
Speaking of racist.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, that's rapist.
What if they beam down to an entire planet of Cosbys?
Well, you see...
Hydra women.
That would be a failed colony.
Yeah.
Because everyone would be unconscious and all the time.
I should have known better. I shouldn't have drank that last Cosby Politan.
Oh, now this has got some bite. That gives me bum hurt.
Oh, you think you've seen a woman before, huh?
Well, let me tell you about the super the zapper and then the dipper dabber. Sorry. Can we move on, please?
Yeah, so Picard has invited up clony asshole McWorthingtamer.
Brilliantly done. Star.
To the conference room.
Yep.
And they're just giving him the whole grill down of clones.
Clones? Yeah.
I love that they don't even consider, like, this might be, you know, like, try to understand it from their perspective. Like, clones know that. That's fucking bullshit. You're not doing clones. You're not going to clone anyone from the Enterprise.
Yeah, and the guy's like, well, this is just how we do it. I mean, you know, we're alive, aren't we? And yeah.
We've been cloned for
There's only five of us.
Yeah. what would you do?
Right. And which they don't answer. It's one of those good questions that they don't have an answer for, so they just go, but anyway, you still suck. It's like, no. You gotta address that. Come on. Riker looks like he's about to go across the table.
He does.
Riker's reaction is like, sexual reproduction, that's repugnant.
Riker's they cut to a reaction shot of Riker when he says that.
Yeah.
The fuck you say?
How dare you, sir?
We were just kind of wondering if you'd let us borrow some DNA.
Just give us a little bit of DNA.
And then Riker is just so aghast at the idea that there could be like some duplicate William Riker out there somewhere that he doesn't know about doing
for this universe.
Because, listen, one Riker is a snowflake, okay? He's special.
It's a good thing he never
two
has
two Rikers is just unheard of.
We'll get that to season 6 when he actually does have a clone.
That also steals the Defiant, by the way.
We watched that episode.
Shit. Yep.
I watched it.
Good episode.
Yeah, it really is a good episode.
So what they don't tell the guy is that if you just go down the holodeck, you can get all the Riker semen you want.
Just watch your step because you're likely to slip.
Right. Just take them up and take as much as you want. Just wring it out of a rag.
Oh, God. The Riker rag.
They call it the number one.
You don't want to know what the number two is.
That's the dildo.
That's the Riker maneuver. So Pulaski's like, well, if you're clones, how did you figure out replicative fading? Like, let me just throw that down here. Just drop some knowledge on you.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some big words on you. How do you think about that? Intimidate you with my vocab.
Replicative fading? What the fuck is that?
That's when your replicas fade. Fucks.
It's when you leave a clone.
It's like when you copy a VHS onto a VHS and copy that onto another VHS.
No, so you get Time Ranger DVDs.
No, it's like when you leave a clone out in the sun for a long time and the colors kind of bleed out.
It's like the VHS copies of Bubblegum Crisis. Like there's a little bit of fading.
Well, you leave it out in the sun, it gets so pale that they eventually turn Irish. It all works out.
But generally, people out in the sun, they get darker.
Yeah,
you don't quite see Pris's boobs as well, because it's like a copy of a copy.
Yeah. The subtitles aren't yellow with black outlines anymore. They're just kind of smudgy.
Orange. Brown.
Get the Blu-rays. Those look really nice.
Well, that's the point. The Blu-rays don't have replicative fading.
That's because they're digital. See, if the clones would have just gone digital... Yeah, if the clones would have just gone digital, like, you know, 50 or 60 years ago, they wouldn't have this problem because every copy would then be perfect.
Well, they store all their DNA on vinyl because the DNA sounds crisper that way.
Oh, yeah. That's really how...
I thought it sounded warmer that way.
Yeah, it's rare sound.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds fuller.
Yeah, it's a more natural sound.
For your DNA.
Yes. It's just like the artist intended you to listen to it.
Right. In mono. Glorious mono.
Which I'm sure Riker has.
You know, the Beatles mixed their DNA in mono originally.
It's analog. Which Data just scoffs at. Alright, moving on.
I wish Yoko was in this episode.
Yoko mirrors a blind letter on.
Number nine. But nine.
I wish Yoko and Bjork would do a song together. That would be amazing.
I heard two cats having sex one time. I imagine that's what it's like.
What has this podcast become?
Well, at that exact moment, bestiality. So.
No, is it really bestiality if it's two cats?
No, I don't think so.
If you're jacking off to it, yeah.
Well, now you're just splitting hairs.
No, I've split a rabbit in half too, but that's a different story. Splitting hairs. You had to say that. Oh my god.
So Riker's here whining that one Riker is special, but like two Rikers, that's not so special. And then like more, that's like even less.
Deluding me.
In ways I can't even imagine or explain, because I don't really have a point. I'm just angry about it.
So he's a white guy.
That's the problem with this episode. Like, this could have been a very philosophical, like...
This could have been a hugely philosophical thing if they would have spent more than 15 minutes on the problem.
Speaking of which, what happened to the Irish?
Who cares? What happened to Riker and Pulaski?
But they don't care. They're just like, clones are bad. We're not giving you clones.
Yeah. So then Riker and Pulaski go down back to the planet because they had to do some repairs on their equipment.
They're going to repair their equipment.
Yeah, which is going to help a little bit. But, you know, that's the nice thing to do. Whatever. They don't care.
Here, we can fix your shit.
Yeah. So Riker and
Pulaski has some research subjects.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Plus, he's like, I want to study your society falling apart. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Can I write an article about you? All for right, my blog?
Is this a scene where she says
ethics forbid me from creating my own clones to study replicative fading, but... with you guys already suffering from it,
that's kind of a gray area.
This is my only chance to study replicative fading.
Yeah, what a horrible thing. It's like, this is only my time to study children dying of AIDS, so I'm going to take it. You know, like, what the fuck?
I've never had a chance to study genocide before. This will be fascinating.
Yes.
This is going to be so fun.
Wait. Before we get started, let me get some tea. Hold on.
I got to get the antidote first.
I want tea that's so strong I need an antidote. That's awesome. So strong my coffee is.
The best part is Granger's like, oh, I would love you to come back to the planet. Perhaps you'll notice something that we've overlooked. And she's like, oh, that's nice, but nope.
Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting watching your society go extinct.
She's like, I don't intend to solve shit.
Hang on, let me get some popcorn ready.
I love how she's written this episode.
I know. She's
written,
brilliant.
Like, she's written this episode the same she's written any other time. It's just, you know, she's directed in the right way.
Yeah.
She's pointed in the right direction with how she's written.
Well, she's finally in the right situation.
Yes. This is the situation she was born for.
So, Pulaski and Riker come down, and they go meet with the principal in his office, where he roofies them. With laser
beams. Yeah, he gives them... Cosmopolitan. And watch right here, because Riker is like being carried off, and then he looks directly into the camera.
Oh, wait, does he?
He certainly
does.
He does.
Oh, he does! Holy back. Shit! Why would
and
he
then
do
Jordy
that?
Jordy walks in, and he's like, hey, have you seen my coworkers?
Like, would you think Jordy would be like, I smell mothballs? And booty stank.
Why didn't they zap Jordy too? Because like, wouldn't they want a bigger base of clones? Like,
because
why?
He's blind.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's genetically inferior.
Oh,
Russ,
that's right.
Russ. They already have a black guy.
Oh, they have blind. Murphy. We've already established this. They already have a blind Eddie Murphy. They don't need a blind LeVar Burton.
So the next thing that comes down is like Stevie Wonder comes down. They're like, God damn it.
Oh, they have a mute Eddie Murphy. He can see. He just can't say anything.
Oh, that's really the best kind of Eddie Murphy.
But they're like, no, we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to leave.
Maybe they beat back up.
Yeah.
I love music in this part where they're like extracting the DNA. Like, it's so sinister. Like... Oh,
well,
fuck.
I don't understand why Jordy didn't just hit his communicator and go, computer, locate, you know, Riker and Pulaski. I mean...
Shut up, Scott.
That's not how cares work. They're talking machines.
They don't work that way. He's got to search the entire base for them.
Look, their comm badges this week are max. They can't do that.
No, they can't. Right. You need a window to run that program.
Yeah, and they are pretty far underground. Oh wait, no, it was the first colony that was underground.
Yeah, no, this isn't the power chamber, Fort Max.
This isn't the Irish. So how come these guys aren't Irish? If they both the same
colony? Because these guys are educated, Russ. They can't be Irish.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Also, they didn't have the booze. Yeah.
Booze? Yeah. Oh, the booze.
Yeah. Because without alcohol, the Irish cease to be Irish.
Yeah, they'd evolve into being human.
Think how advanced they would be if they didn't have alcohol.
That's what happened.
They'd be Scottish.
Think how advanced it would be if I didn't have alcohol. I just drank a whole bottle of champagne.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say shampoo.
No, I had that before.
Blue. That's
next. He did a couple of shots.
No, he drank. No, he had some Irish Spring.
Okay, so Geordi catches up with Riker and Pulaski, who are now awake, and he's like, "So, where'd you guys go? I asked about you, and they just kept lying to me."
Yeah,
some clone lied to me.
I know he's got to get all like on his high horse about like, "Look, I can tell when people are lying. Humans, no big deal."
Which never comes up ever again.
You see a moment of panic. Right. Riker and Pulaski, like, "Oh shit, he knows every time we've lied to him."
Instantly, Riker's uncomfortable. He's like, "Wait, you can tell when I'm lying?"
Smash flashback to like, Geordi asks Riker, "Is my hair look okay?" Riker's like, "Yeah, it looks great, dude."
Hey,
in the senior staff room, where's the last piece?
Didn't have sex with your hologram.
Hey, in the senior staff room, where's that last piece of cheesecake? Oh, I haven't seen it, Geordi. I don't know.
I don't know, Geordi. I definitely did not have sex with your hologram program, for sure.
So they quickly figure out that something is up, and then Pulaski starts scanning them all.
Yeah, because that's all she does.
Oh, I do really like, though, that Pulaski immediately jumps through everything in her head without my mother explaining to anyone else. Like, oh, shit, we were knocked unconscious, which means they took our DNA. I better check for that.
Right. Now, my question is, how the hell can you tell if you're missing a few epithelial cells? Really?
The 24th century.
Oh, my God.
Well, she's not really scanning for the missing cells. She's scanning for the hole where the giant needle went in.
Oh, God. Geordi couldn't see it for some reason.
Instead of alerting the captain or anyone else, they just beam directly into
that's right!
They just go directly into the grow room.
Filled with some Japanese stuff.
Yoshimitsu computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, here we could have an awesome, like, philosophical debate about, like,
what is
the
life?
Choice to live and the right to live and, like, is a clone, you know.
Instead, we come and peace shoot to kill.
No, yeah. We're just going to kill him.
He takes out a key fob and then exactly. So what I understand is, like, I couldn't tell which clone was which. Were they supposed to look like Riker and Pulaski?
They mixed them together.
So they're supposed to, but they don't. All right,
we got one friend over here.
Sorry, Ben was saying something. But they just shoot the clones and kill them. Like, they don't give a fuck.
They vaporize them.
Who's that over there? Joey?
Disintegrate. Look, he's just like, tell him to get a microphone instead of being on the phone. God's sakes, Ben. You have a whole fucking house to be in. Go somewhere else and talk on the phone.
Look, it's not his fault. They tried to put Russ in the art room, but then, there was sharp things there, and they couldn't leave Russ alone.
Yeah. It's okay. I have to get another drink anyways.
Well, I guess we're taking a drink break.
That's the joy of resting in a laptop, so you can walk to where the liquor is.
Yes. So you guys are fools. I get mine delivered to me.
Russ, deliver me some liquor.
There you go.
What would you like?
No, I don't want anything. See, right. I could have it done. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
you
that's weird.
Take a mix with that, or just drink it straight?
Yes, bring me some shampoo.
Some shampoo?
There's a code red sitting right there open.
Do you want some? Do you want some Klingon dry ice?
Yes, that would be great.
Right now he's gonna be talking like
no, the code red that's open there. Oh, I'm pointing behind the wall that he can't see. It was right in front of you. Right beside the other bottle of alcohol.
Oh, right here.
It's
okay.
Code red. How can you miss it? It's literally glowing red.
There it is. Okay.
I know. I love it.
Wait, is this your vodka?
Yeah, that's
well, then you take that. Well, hand me my vodka.
Oh, where's your vodka?
Great podcaster. you just tried to hand it to me.
This is all staying in.
Vodka.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Ah, you're useless when you're drunk.
Not the straight vodka that I have.
Every bit of this is staying in.
Wait, did you put vodka in code red?
You can just edit this out, right?
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah. I need a glass.
You know, Matt, you got one earlier.
Hang on, I'm getting a glass.
Oh my god.
If we have to sit through this, the audience does too.
We're going to rewind the episode a bit, aren't we?
Probably.
I'm let me pause this.
Oh, good idea. You have the best podcast ever.
Oh, yeah. You don't get quality content like this on Radio Free Cybertron, let me tell you.
No.
You also don't get full frontal nudity on Radio Free Cybertron either.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like an Irishman who just drank his first Klingon whiskey.
Yeah, you sound like it. You sound really nice.
The full frontal nudity was Radio Free Cybertron. Yeah.
But we brought it to it, though.
Well, yes.
I mean, you won't see Don bringing full frontal nudity.
All right, I have a new drink. I'm ready.
Also,
okay. Thank God.
Which that will get edited out.
All right, so.
Well, I buy 100% gas.
Oh, for Jesus Christ!
Can you hear Ben?
Yes.
Yes. Shut up, meathead! What the fuck is going on? Rearrange your furniture.
Am I too loud, bro?
No, you're fine.
Great lies told on podcast.
my headphone jack came unplugged.
I don't know how that happened.
Where's David tonight?
He is playing Star Trek Online.
I see.
And being very quiet.
Yeah. Alright.
So quiet it's like he's not even there.
Yep. It's nice. He's got headphones in, so you can't hear what I'm talking about him.
Oh, well, he probably can. He's just pretending not to. It's the same kind of thing I would do.
He waved back, though.
See?
How sweet.
It's friendly.
Concept.
All right, so this week on Star Trek, we're watching Up the Long Ladder.
Okay. Are we going to do this again?
Yeah, there's a ship shot, and it opens up with Worf looking very uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Make sure not to record any of this.
Wait, recording?
I gotta get another drink.
So anyway, burn the clones?
Yeah.
Yes.
Burn the clones, now Granger comes in. So take it away, Mickey.
Murderers!
Eh. They belong to me.
Yeah.
How can I murder something that belongs to me?
Well, Riker was just confused. He didn't know if he had sex with it, if it'd be incest or masturbation.
He's like, if I have sex with quintuplets.
Yeah.
If they're all clones.
I'm concerned about that. Who was concerned that his clone would fuck something before he could?
Yeah, that's the biggest threat in the galaxy. He doesn't want the competition.
How can he boldly go where no Riker has gone before if some Riker has gone there before?
So they have this. They're up in Picard's ready room now. The big philosophical discussion starts in the last like 10 minutes of the episode.
No,
like,
it doesn't.
Well,
this could be such a this could be such a good episode right here.
Right.
This is like the crux. This is the whole philosophical discussion, and
Troy ruins it.
About 15 seconds.
Troy's like, well. If what we just got them some people to fuck.
Yes.
Like a whole bunch of people that we didn't want on the ship anymore.
I like how Picard stops and like the look of like euphoria that crosses his face. Like he never would have thought of this in a million years. I mean, he's like he walked into a brick wall. Oh my god, that is the best thing I've ever heard.
Now the thing is, if there was ever a mission with Riker's name all over it,
problem is they don't need Riker all over. They need Riker all in it.
Well, yes. Yeah, Riker be like...
Yeah, if it's Riker all over it, it's not really accomplishing the goal here, is it?
Yeah.
Like, it's still a lot of fun, but it's not really, like, getting any work done.
Man, hang on. Let me show you how to do this.
Yeah. So, when you have three husbands and three wives, let me show you how this actually works out strategically. So...
Okay, did you know you can do this all in one go?
Yeah. We need lots of pillows, first of all, and some glasses of water, and...
It's like musical chairs, really.
Yeah, a couple towels, and then...
get some mood music going on.
Do you have incense on your planet?
That's not mood music. excuse me.
What?
Oh, thanks. I'm just reading tweets now.
Focus.
I ruined the podcast.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the podcast right now.
Oh, fuck this. Now I'm going to Twitter. You guys keep going.
Okay, so conference room. They beamed up Mick Snootenheimer and Captain Whiskey to parlay between them.
Yes, because this is going to work out.
Like, so, we're not going to help you clone, and we're going to take you to a new home.
But we will let a bunch of dirty Irishmen rape your women.
But in return, you can rape their women.
Yes.
Yeah. This doesn't look like a winning side for me at all.
I love the fact how Captain Irish is just so completely just enthused by this. Oh, I get to fuck multiple women.
Yeah, he's against it until he's like, wait a minute. Three wives?
Yeah. No more monogamy?
Now, the funny thing is, though, if he's really Irish, that would mean like three nagging wives.
Yeah, he doesn't think about that until after the planet. Then it turns into Harry Mudd's planet.
And then Data shows up and he's like, Mariposa, that's Spanish. I thought that might be...
God damn it, Ross. Well, I like this thing, too, because this is where Pulaski gets super weird and morbid.
She's just like...
Well, she's just like, okay, fine, fuck it. You're all going to die, and then the Federation will just have this planet with cities that are just empty, ripe for colonization.
She's like, in 50 years, we're going to have a fresh Class M planet to colonize.
Yeah, with cities and stuff, and you'll all be dead. I mean, he's like, holy shit.
It's going to be rad.
Yeah, well, imagine the first people from the Federation that, like, land there and have to clean the place up.
Bones.
After 50 years, no, maybe not just bones. Small little piles.
That's your replica Fadoving right there.
Say, here's your problem. I like this guy. The Irish guy is like, look, we're hardworking, we're honest, and we're willing to learn. Come on, let's make this work. I like the fact that he's so cool.
Meanwhile, Granger is all like, do you have any idea how hard it would be just to educate them?
Well, better you than me, bitch.
No, seriously, it's easy.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing it.
All this stuff can be used in some way or another
to make booze.
To either make booze or transport booze.
Yeah, you just have to break it down into something that works on their level.
What do you think the spinning wheel is for?
On a beer koozie?
For spinning booze. Yeah. Spinning booze.
Yeah, that's how
it's
you turn
stuff so they can go to the store to get booze without freezing.
Right. I love that Pulaski.
Because you ain't gonna be able to get your booze if you freeze to death on the way to get it.
Look, you're not gonna be able to get booze if you're not wearing any pants and they won't let you in the store.
That's why you have a skirt under your skirt.
Yo, dog, we heard you like skirts. We put skirts in your skirts.
Oh, you've never seen a girl before.
Oh, this isn't a skirt. This is me murking. You might want to clean your teeth out afterwards.
All right, no, but the best part is when they go back to the cargo bay and he's
No. Whoa, wait. I'm sorry. I have to stop you there. At the end of the meeting, the Irish guy's like, oh, so it's a done deal. He gets up, shakes the hand of the other guy, and goes, send in the clones.
No. There's a good part before that, though.
He spits
like,
on his hand before he shakes
Yeah, exactly. He spits on his hand before he makes the clone shake him.
Yes, it's in the clones. That's a reference a 300-year out-of-the-galaxy fucking colony would know. They have Send in the Clowns as a song. And a sense of irony. That's the best.
He's not so much as, like, happy that they've made an agreement as he's happy is more that he's turned on that he's going to go, like, fuck all these clones.
And not only does he get to... And he gets to marry his daughter off three times.
Yeah. Well, she takes care of that in this next scene.
If three of her wives are clones, though, doesn't mean you just have one wife?
Kinda.
Well, they had two. There might be two different women among them.
Yeah, there's two different types of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really. Yeah.
There's only five. There's Eddie Murphy. There's...
Granger.
There's Granger.
There is unnamed white guy.
Yeah.
The quadruplets.
Yeah.
And Nancy Reagan, I think.
Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. Oh, the Irish are so happy. Look at them telling stories and laughing and slapping each other.
So Picard's trying to convince, they're going to need your strength.
Wait.
Yeah.
Before that, though,
excuse me.
As Picard leads Granger into the room,
I love this.
Granger is just staring at this pregnant woman holding a baby goat.
No, not a baby goat, a fake goat.
Well,
fake.
And you can see on his face, thing like, this is what kids look like.
Yeah, he's like, wait, you actually have a child in there?
No, it's a kid, because it's a goat.
I got it. It wasn't funny, but I got it.
It was funny for not being funny.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be funny if he just started petting the goat.
And children are weird looking.
No, he's looking at that girl. He's looking at that girl like, wait, is that going to happen to me if I have sex?
Remember, he hasn't had sex in 300 years.
Oh, is this the girl? This could just be like a fat guy who's in a prog rock band.
Oh, shit, dude.
There is a goat.
Oh, so Firecrotch comes over and starts yelling at Picard.
She's like, oh, that's just like men. You guys go make all the decisions and then expect us to, like, have all your children.
Yeah, to lay on our backs and take it like good women. And Picard just smiles and goes, yeah, pretty much.
Picard's like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I've got the phasers, bitch. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And wait a minute. Three husbands, and he's the prime minister.
You gold-digging whore.
Not only is his prime minister, she's like, oh, I bet he's rich, right? Is he rich?
Picard's like, money.
Yeah. He's got money. And she's like, You know.
I like how this episode swerves so hard from feminism to sexism. It like gives me a whiplash.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you men, you're oppressing us, and immediately she goes right to how much money does he have?
Right.
Well, you know, this is the 24th century. This is a post-scarcity society. We don't have use for monetary transactions or anybody owning anything.
Right.
But she's like, oh, I bet he's got more than two coins to rub together, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Because they brought coins with them on the spaceship.
Yeah.
So my thing is, they're going to be really pissed when they, like, in about a couple of months when they realize that she's already pregnant.
Thanks, Riker.
And the baby's born with a beard.
No. The baby grows a beard when it's about a year old.
Yeah. When it's a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Hey, but Riker is a special snowflake. He's unique.
Yes.
Yeah. And that never changes.
I love that she's still wearing her post-Riker fuck clothing, like it's her walk of shame still.
These are the voyages of shame.
What would she change into?
Yeah. Her little gypsy number that she was wearing before the scene.
She might change into something a little bit more revealing.
That's why she has the spinning wheel.
so she can make less clothing.
And then Data shows up and he's like, spinning wheel.
Did you know Mariposa is the Spanish word for butterfly?
I thought it might be appropriate.
Oh, Christ. So that was up the long ladder, and I feel like we fell down a flight of stairs instead.
Damn it, Russ.
Wait, why is it my fault? I didn't pick you.
You're the X Factor. You're the new thing, so you made us watch this episode. This
is okay. I watched this 3 times.
Why? Why would you do that? You know you can pause it at the juicy parts.
I may have fed him false information.
So that shows you have to watch the episode 3 times.
I said you had to have them memorized.
Yeah, you're not allowed to watch it at the same time.
I didn't know.
We're very
professional. And then I watched the episode from season 6 with when Riker actually does have a clone.
Yeah, yeah.
From the transporter accident.
I watched that last night.
Did we cover that episode?
No.
No. Okay.
We can, though, like some other time.
Well, I've already watched it.
But we need to get away from Next Generation for a while.
Yeah, we do. We're kind of overdue on some Star Trek the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, we're even further overdue on the original series.
Come on, I just got here.
Yeah, go easy on that.
Russ, I have bad news. You're late. Episodes.
Hey, have you guys watched that episode where they went to Planet Africa?
I'm always up for watching that episode.
Because that one's great.
But yes, we do need to do some original series, so what do you have in mind? You kind of vetoed Planet Nazi.
Yeah, the Nazi episode was actually kind of boring.
Which is such a sad thing to say.
Yeah, Nazis are boring. They're many things, but...
The biggest problem is they're dull.
Yeah. They're very quiet and unassuming people, you know?
Oh, that's some good vodka.
Yeah.
We could tell.
Wait, did Ben make that in the bathtub?
No, if it was a Ben drink, no human being would be able to drink it. It'd be so strong.
These Irish beamed down and they started building a still.
Fermenting a chair leg.
That was the best.
You mean the best episode of Star Trek?
This was definitely that one episode.
This was the episode.
Well, I think we've proved one thing, is that the more people we have on the podcast drinking vodka, the better it gets.
Oh, yeah. It's like a requirement now. It's like, okay, I need that vodka like waiting for me when I get ready to start talking.
That's just called alcoholism, Scott.
I mean, as soon as I get home, it better be waiting for me after work or, you know, Irish sunglasses.
So to do this podcast, I had to drink whiskey, champagne, and vodka.
Aren't you fancy?
That's a lot of liquor, Russ.
That's why it was enjoyable. Try doing it sober.
No. Russ, how much do you drink when you listen to the show?
Wait, what was the question?
How much do you drink when you just listen to the show?
I drink a lot regularly anyway.
I have a real problem, guys. You should probably help me.
I'm a literal alcoholic. But instead of helping me, you gave me this microphone.
Well, we're giving you a voice with which to, you know, express your problems, Russ. That's the first step in, you know, you helping yourself.
And I'm pleading for help. But you guys just laugh. And make
yes, Russ, king of the deadpan. Whether he wants to or not.
All right.
I like to think Russ is sitting there just, like, trying to cry right now, but he can't.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to so hard, but no tears will actually come out.
This was a literal cry for help.
Hey, help.
And you guys just make me watch season 2.
Yeah, so this is kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000. We're all kind of stuck here watching these terrible episodes. And no one's really sure why we do it, but we do.
Somebody help me.
I'm drowning. Somebody help. Please. Oh, God, please.
Although this with mixed with Code Red is delicious.
Yeah, Code Red mixes great with vodka.
Yeah.
White trash connoisseurs over here.
Do we have time for another episode?
No. No, but we should pick an original series episode to do next week.
Yeah. We need to do
How
that.
How about Spock's brain?
All right, then.
That's a good one.
Let's hope so.
Well, it's
kind of... Oh, wait. Next week?
Yeah.
Are we doing Christmas? One next week?
Well, it's the day after Christmas. I mean...
Well, I won't be here the day after Christmas.
Why not?
Where will you be?
Because I'll be seeing Ben's mom.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Well, then I guess we'll be ringing in the new year with Spock's brain.
Yes. Well, I can fill in for Hey Mickey.
I guess we'll be ringing in the new year with Spock's brain.
Am I invited back, or is this just like...
I guess we'll be ringing in the new year with Spock's brain.
You know, in this room, there's a bottle of 91% isopropyl rubbing alcohol.
And you should not drink that.
And it's got lipstick around the opening.
Yeah, how does isopropyl alcohol mix with Code Red?
Let's find out.
Next time on Going Blind with Russ.
Well, that'll protect him from cloning. You know, one Russ is unique. A snowflake.
Definitely a snowflake.
You know, one time I did watch Angel's boyfriend drink orange soda with rubbing alcohol in it.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a drink that her mom liked too, from what I understand. She was pregnant. Oh, that's bad.
That's so mean.
That's
so mean.
We're a bunch of nice guys here. Just nice. Nice gals and girls.
You have so many friends in real life.
Yeah. Guys, I have so many friends. They all live in Canada. You don't know them.
You do know I had sex with her, right?
Well, I didn't ever
claims,
see it
but I've never seen penetration, so I'm, you know.
Right, yeah. I saw some dry humping, but that was about it. I mean,
no, I promise
it's hard to see through the blinds from the outside, too. So.
Oh, that's just creepy.
It's hard to see through the blinds on the inside, too, though.
Yeah, if you just do it inside instead of in the yard like a weirdo. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we didn't have Skype back then.
Yeah, that's true. There was no way to talk to each other back then.
Just, we were completely cut off.
Yeah, it was a
it was a failed colony.
It was just a failed call.
Completely failed.
All right, so Spock's brain to ring in the new year.
Okay, that's right.
I can't think of a better way to bring in the end of 2016, the beginning of 2017, than the shitty episode of Spock's brain.
It does sound appropriate.
Yeah. It kind of does.
Why don't you guys pick good episodes?
Because other podcasts cover the good episodes.
Oh.
Podcasts actually give a shit about standards. And
how do I get on?
Well, we did do a good episode a couple weeks ago.
We did?
I'm asking for a friend.
Baseball?
Oh, baseball, yeah.
That was an accident. We didn't mean to do
oh,
that.
Oh, I heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we fucked that one up bad.
That was not good. You should have had me on for that one.
We screwed the pooch on that one.
But enough about Russ's life.
God. Holy shit. Ooh, that is rough.
Give me a break. I've got Klingon measles.